I'm struggling in my heart daily. Lord, am I going through this because I'm doing something wrong in my life? Lord, am I going through this because I haven't heard your voice on a particular matter? Lord, am I struggling with this because I haven't sought you? Lord, why am I struggling? Why is there this struggle within me?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Agonizing in Prayer. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Agonizing in Prayer.
We see a little bit later on in the week, before the crucifixion, that Jesus entered into a time of agonizing. He entered into a time of agony. In Matthew 26 and verse 39, we read, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou will." Notice he asks a request, "Let this cup pass from me." What was the source of his agony? The fact that he was going to have to drink of the cup. The cup of what? The cup of wrath. And that caused him to agonize. Maybe you're here and you are drinking the cup of wrath. You're drinking the cup of the wrath of a loved one who has wandered off away from the fold, who has gotten involved in sin, and you are agonizing in your heart, you are agonizing in your spirit. Maybe you are drinking the cup of wrath of a struggle that you have personally, that Jesus were agonized because he had to drink this cup of wrath. The fact that he was going to take the sins of the world and he was going to put them in this cup. And later on that week, he was going to drink that cup and he agonized over it. And so we agonize in prayer. There comes times in our life when we agonize. I know my wife and I were dealing with a situation several weeks ago where we had to agonize in prayer about something that was going on in our family. And we agonized and we went before the Lord and we cried out on behalf of one of our loved ones. And it was heavy on our heart. It was something that we had to agonize with. As Jesus felt the weight of the press so heavy in the Garden of Gethsemane. And only Luke tells us, great drops of blood. I mean, the prayer was so intense. And this is something that's called hematidrosis, where a blood vessel breaks and it mixes with the sweat. And instead of you pouring out sweat, that blood actually comes out of your body, that he agonized so much in the garden that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. The songwriter said, "Trouble in my way, I got to cry sometime. Trouble in my way, I got to cry sometimes. I can't sleep at night, but that's all right, because Jesus will fix it." Jesus will fix it. And so I want to take us on a journey this morning, not only on the agony of Christ, but to reach back into the Psalms. And as we reach back into the Psalms, I want to look at what's known as a psalm of lament. And these psalms of lament, they actually express agony, distress, or anguish concerning human troubles. These psalms of lament are prayers that are laid out of a troubling situation, and they are given to the Lord to ask for his help. These psalms are poetic prayers, and they are meant to be sung from the hearts of the people who are in distress. Psalms of lament. That there are many different psalms in the Psalter. Psalms of praise, psalms of thanksgiving, psalms of confession, psalms of intercession. But this morning, we want to look at one particular psalm of lament. And somebody said that if you look at the psalms, that two-thirds of the psalms, some type of lament, some type of heartbreak, some type of sorrow where the individual had to go to God in prayer. Trouble in my way. What trouble is in your way this morning? Are you agonizing before the Lord? Maybe the reason that our loved ones are not saved is because we're not agonizing before the Lord. Maybe the reason that our loved one has wandered off into sin is because we're not agonizing before the Lord. Maybe the reason that we continue to have that struggle day after day after day is because we're not agonizing before the Lord. As we look at Psalm 13, it's a psalm of lament. And there are actually, when you look at these psalms, five psalms that were specifically dedicated to lament. But like I said, two-thirds of the psalms contain some type of lament. Psalm 13, Psalm 22, Psalm 42, Psalm 69, Psalm 88 are all psalms of lament. That these individuals who prayed these psalms identified with the human condition and the fact that in this life we have to agonize. And these psalms of lament, they generally contain four movements, and it's a progressive movement upward. It starts out with an invocation and lament where the psalmist calls upon the Lord and laments the problem. Then there is a petition for help, and that is where the psalmist asks God to intervene. Then there is a trust of confession, where the psalmist expresses faith and confidence in God. And then there's a trust and praise, where the psalmist praises God for answer to prayer. The background to Psalm 13, David is lamenting the fact that he feels the Lord had abandoned him in light of the persecution by his enemies. In this psalm, well, let me read it and then I'll come back and say some things about it. Lord, how long will thou forget me? Forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart? And as I read these verses right here, just picture Christ in the garden. And even when he was on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so people have asked the question, how long, God, will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my strength. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. choir sang about it this morning. But I have trusted in thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Amen. I'd ask that you pray for me. I preached 3 times last Sunday, preached every night this week, and I started losing my voice. So we pray that the Lord will get me through this one. All right. I know he will. Just a little prayer. Just a little extra boost. Amen. All right. In this prayer, David struggles. Wow. He struggles with God. He struggles with himself. And he struggles with his enemy. Now, notice he struggles with God. That as he comes to God in agony, he struggles with God. He says in verse 1, how long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long, Lord, will you hide your face from me? Questions seem to haunt you night and day. How can God allow your heart to be torn this way? Does he listen when you call, or is he even there at all? That you are in agony of soul, and you are struggling, and you look around and you wonder where God is at. I'm in the midst of this trying situation, and Lord, I feel like you've left me here all by myself. Lord, I'm going through this alone. Where are you at, God? The psalmist struggled with God. The psalmist not only struggled with God, the psalmist struggled with himself. He said in verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart? Daily. Daily. I'm struggling in my heart daily. Lord, am I going through this because I'm doing something wrong in my life? Lord, am I going through this because I haven't heard your voice on a particular matter? Lord, am I struggling with this because I haven't sought you? Lord, why am I struggling? Why is there this struggle within me? Why is it, Lord, that I want to live right and I want to do right, but every day there's temptation pulling me away from your heart. Every day there's a temptation pulling me away from your will. And Lord, I'm struggling with this. Lord, I'm in agony of soul. And then there was a struggle with the enemy. Lord, don't let my enemy have the victory over me, because if they have the victory, then they're going to rejoice and they're going to laugh. And so the struggle here for the psalmist was real. The struggle, and just like with Jesus in the garden, he was God. And he should have been able to just move through all that with no issue. But the struggle in the garden for Jesus was real. And he agonized in his spirit. And the struggle for us is real. The psalmist opens up with an invocation and a lamentation. The psalmist calls upon the Lord and laments the problem. David says, oh Lord, that's the invocation. He knew where to turn. That in the agony of soul, and the fact that he was struggling, that he knew where to turn. And sometimes when we agonize in our soul, we turn to the bottle. Sometimes when we agonize in our soul, we turn to the reefer. Sometimes when we agonize in our soul, we look for solace in others. But the psalmist knew exactly where to turn. Oh Lord, he called upon the Lord, his invocation, and what was his lamp? Lament. Four times he begs the question, how long? How long? How long? What are some characteristics of agonizing prayer? When you look at the fact that you agonize in prayer, what are some characteristics of that time? Well, first of all, agonizing prayer is a conversation with God, telling him how you feel. You mad with God? You upset with God? Well, you know, I can't tell him. I don't want God to know that I'm upset with him. He already knows. Tell God that you're upset. Tell God that you're angry. Now, some people may bristle when I say this, but I'm going to say it. And that is, if you're upset with God, go ahead and get it out. Tell him, God, I'm upset with you. He got big shoulders. He can handle it. Jesus said, turn back to Luke 22 real quick. Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 42. Jesus said, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Remove this cup. Jesus said, remove this cup. Father, right? He was, oh my goodness. Lamentation, when you lament, you are having, and don't miss this now, don't miss this. When you lament, you are having a conversation with God. That's key. That's key. Because you can scream, kick a wall, shout out loud, and that don't mean anything. But if I'm dealing with something, I'm engaging in God, with God, in a conversation. And Jesus says, remove this cup. He was telling God what he wanted, what he wanted to see happen. He was speaking out in anguish to God. Now, weeping may accompany your lamentation. It may accompany, but weeping is not lamentation. Go back and read some of those Psalms. Lamentation is conversation. It's conversation. That is you going back and forth with God. And so, I might cry during that time, but I don't necessarily have to shed any tears. I just got something on my heart that me and God need to talk about. And so one characteristic of agonizing in prayer is a conversation with God about how you feel. It's a conversation with God about how you feel. Jesus said, I don't feel like it. Remove this cup. And so we need to realize that it starts with agony in the conversation. Secondly, agonizing prayer comes out of a pain in the soul. This cup, again, what was the cup? The cup. God took all the sin that had ever been committed. From eternity past until the great white throne judgment, God took all those sins and he put them in a cup. The cup of wrath, that's what it was called. The cup of wrath. And he took that cup and Jesus took it by the handle and he drank the cup. All the wrath of God against sin that was in the cup, he drank it so that we might have eternal life. But it was painful. There was, as he drank the cup, it was painful. And that's why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because it was painful. And when you agonize in prayer, there's going to be some pain in your soul. When you have this conversation with God, there's pain in your soul. When you look at a loved one and you watch them travel the road of destruction and you pray for them and you talk to God about them, it's painful. Somebody that you've been with since birth, and somebody that you raised, and someone that you had all kind of hopes for and you put a lot of energy into, and now you see them traveling down the wrong road, man, that's painful. And Jesus dealt with the pain of agony, that you're going to hurt. And the songwriter said, again, trouble in my way. I got to cry sometime. Trouble in my way. I got to cry sometime. Agonizing in prayer is a conversation with God about how you feel. Agonizing in prayer comes out of pain in the soul. Agonizing prayer results in submission to the hand of God. Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, I don't understand why this is the road I have to travel. Lord, I don't understand why the pain and why the suffering is taking place in my life. But Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And then agonizing prayer is not measured by time. It's measured by intensity. You can pray for 3 hours. If there's no connection that's being made, then you just were talking. In agonizing prayer, there has to be intensity. Notice what it says about Jesus. It says in verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were
for joining us today on And Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion, Agonizing in Prayer. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Agonizing in Prayer, you can contact us at AnchoredInJesus.org and Agonizing in Prayer. That's AnchoredInJesus.org and request Agonizing in Prayer from our Lenten series or call 31-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Lent is made available by request. request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored.